Joining us on the horn right now, Logan Lamarandier of Lion Lowdown. And Logan, my friend, hello. Happy Monday to you. How is life? How are things? Are you surviving so far?
Hey there, Anthony. Yeah, it's pretty odd times, that's for sure. But at least we have football free agency. When all those sports have gone away, we got something going on in the sports world. But outside of that, it's interesting.
It has been, the NFL has been like that one little dose of normalcy, which is kind of crazy, but at least, like you said, that there have been some free agent news and notes and some signings, a lot of trades. I mean, everybody in the league is basically moving and shaking, but we'll dial in here to the Detroit Lions, and I saw something on your Twitter that I thought made a lot of sense, and that was the fact that it wasn't that the Lions had just traded away, Darius Slay for a third and a fifth. They also got Trufant as well. Is a good way to think about it, because that's basically the package that they had received. So let's dive first into the signing of Desmond Trufant, and what do you think that he brings to the table that the Lions have needed, and are there any concerns about him coming to Detroit?
Yeah, so I think with him, they're obviously paying him quite a bit less than Slay, who is now the top paid corner in the NFL. So funny enough that, yeah, Slay's contract, since the Lions traded him, freed up about $10.5 million in cap space, and that's exactly how much Trufant costs. So you are getting them at a cheaper deal, and on top of that deal, you're also getting a third and fifth round pick. And with Trufant, he is a very good athlete, just like Slay. They're actually drafted the same year, and Trufant was drafted ahead of Slay. Now, in terms of like ball production, last year, actually, Trufant had 4 interceptions and only 9 games played, so there's still some there overall. You know, if you look at the career, I'd say Slay's definitely had the better career. Slay's probably a better player at this time. There's a reason that Trufant only signed for $10.5 million and was cut from the Falcons. And it's like, looking at their style of play, Trufant can play man-to-man. He's very physical, actually. I'd say he's more physical than Slay, but I don't think he's necessarily as a true cover corner like Slay is. But, as a CB1, your top option, I think Trufant's an okay type of player. It would have been real nice if he was your second corner, because he would have been one of the top second corners in the league. But as of right now, I think he works well with the scheme. Obviously, that's why Quinn and Patricia signed him. But he probably is a slight downgrade from what Slay provided. But that, again, there's some trade-offs to it.
You know, Logan, do you think that, and I guess, hindsight's 2020, the deal's already done, but I kind of would have liked to have seen Darius Slay stay, and when they signed Trufant, I was like, hey, wait a minute, what if we got real lucky here? We had both of these guys. But it seemed like the relationship was always fractured, and then once Slay got traded, the news came out, he spoke to the media, and I wanted to get your thoughts on how that, because Darius is a very, he's an active guy on social media, and that's not necessarily one of the things that this organization loves with the current staff that's in place between, Bob Quinn, the general manager, Matt Patricia, the head coach. They're not necessarily the biggest fans of social media. Slay was active on that, but they had a run-in earlier. And I guess my thing with Patricia is this. You can always start hard and then, kind of like take steps back and soften up. But if you come in, and I don't know if that works. That's what they tell you when you're a high school coach. You can always start off as a tough guy and kind of ease up as the season goes on. I don't know if that necessarily works with professional athletes or how to go in there about managing the locker room, but it seemed like the relationship between he and Slay, based on everything Slay had said, was basically fractured from the beginning.
Yeah, and that's a tough call, because as Matt Patricia, being a new head coach and only being in New England, he probably only knows one style of football. And there's a difference, though, with Bill Belichick, is that he's had a ton of success and, maybe the greatest coach of all time in the NFL, whereas Patricia comes in as a brand new guy, hasn't had a ton of success, but he's still trying to replicate and emulate what Belichick does. It just might rub players the wrong way. And whenever you're losing and if players aren't liking kind of the situation they're in with their coach and how they're being treated in losing culture, I mean, that's going to just kind of double down on itself and be an unlikable place to play. Now, I'm not saying that Patricia's style can't work, because there's been plenty of, again, going back to Belichick and other coaches that have used that style and it's worked. You would like Patricia to maybe be a little bit more flexible And I think he did get better in year two. That's what the reports were. And he is a different coach in year two. But Slay pretty much had his beef with Patricia going all the way back to year one. And it sounded like it was at the very beginning of the relationship. And, you know, sometimes the first impression is the biggest impression, and it might be tough to change. But I don't know. It's one of those deals where not all players are the same. And it just depends on the personality.
Yeah, and it's a you're absolutely right. You got to almost coach each individual differently, and that's tough when you have a roster of 53 guys. But I guess that's what you're there to do. When the Lions had signed Trufant, I mean, a lot of people, you know, I guess, kind of tipped their hand to the fact that even Slay coming out good speed up my trade process a little bit. But we kind of knew that was coming, and there was no way we were going to have Trufant and Slay, and then maybe draft Okuda. Or Isaiah Simmons too. Like, I just wanted everything. Can I just have all the picks? I'm good with that. But now that Trufant is here, do you think that tips the Lions' hand at all into what direction that they are going in the draft?
I think it does. You look at Okuda still being on the board with Isaiah Simmons. I know that's been a fan favorite, but adding Jamie Collins, the Lions now have four linebackers that can play just about every spot, including that jack position that Devon Kennard played, where he was a little bit more limited, where he almost was always at that position, never played off ball. And then now the Lions adding Jamie Collins. You have Christian Jones. You have Tovai that they drafted because they liked his versatility, that he could play on the edge and off ball. And Jamie Collins, who, again, can play some on the line, but is mostly an off ball backer. And then Jared Davis, I think he's more of a blitzer more than he is an edge rusher, but that's a conversation for a different day. But you have four linebackers there. So if Isaiah Simmons is going to be a linebacker there, probably don't need him right away. Same with the safeties. The Lions added Ron Harmon and Jaron Kearse, two very good safeties. Kearse is more of a special teamer, but when he did play safety, he had one of the highest PFF grades in football last year. Actually played a lot of slot corner, but again, no matter where you're going to put Simmons, you don't really have a necessary need for him. Whereas corner right now, you have Trufant, you have Justin Coleman as your slot guy, and whether you consider Aruarie as your second corner, I don't know how much faith the Lions have in that, because at the end of the year, Aruarie still lost his spot to Rashawn Melvin. So I do still think there's the biggest need on the team outside of right guard right now is probably corner, and that falls perfectly with what the Lions probably wanted to do. Even if they wanted to trade back in the draft to, say, pick five, you're still likely to get Okuda. So I do think it does tip their hat a little bit. If I had to guess right now, I would definitely say Okuda is probably their top choice.
Logan Lamarandier joining us right now of Lion Lowdown, and there were a couple of other moves made prior to the dealing of Darius Slay to Philadelphia for that third and fifth rounder, and that was defensive tackle Danny Shelton and safety Daron Harmon, both the fourth and fifth members of the Patriots teams to have joined the Lions under head coach Matt Patricia over the last couple of off seasons. So I joked around and said Patriots West is what they would call us, and it kind of actually does at times look like that a little bit. At least that's what they're trying to do. The addition of Danny Shelton, the addition of Daron Harmon, how does that fit this team now that, you know, like, for instance, Snacks is gone? Is this, say, an adequate replacement there?
So what Snacks was providing last year, I think, yeah, Danny Shelton is a great replacement, especially at his cost. Shelton's only costing $4 million a year, which is not very much at all, especially when you consider, you know, the bigger name guy like DJ Reader, which again was another player who a lot of people had pegged the Lions just because of the dire need. He cost $13 million a year almost. So getting Shelton at $4 million a year, I do really like that. And I think Shelton does provide a little bit more of a pass rush than Snacks did, but at the same time, he's another big body, like a really true nose tackle type of guy. So, yeah, I'm fine with Shelton. I think his 2019 play was better than Snacks' 2019 play. And then looking at Daron Harmon, who just is considered a deep safety. He played a lot in the Patriots scheme as just, you know, that deep safety, which, oddly enough, was what Will Harris played last year the most when he was on the field. He played over 60% of his snaps at deep. So I think Harmon gives the Lions the opportunity to probably move Harris up more into the box a little bit more, which is, I think, probably a better fit for him. He's never been like a true ball hawk type of guy, whereas Daron Harmon, the Patriots called him the closer because he has the most fourth quarter interceptions since 2015. He's a guy who has a nose for the football. So that allows Harris, using athleticism, to cover, you know, maybe bigger tight ends one-on-one, and also playing in the box where he's just a very reliable tackler. So I'm not sure exactly how the safeties are going to set up yet, but you add in Kearse in there as well, who is also like just a huge player, the predecessor to Isaiah Simmons at Clemson. I think with those four safeties, they have a nice group there. So I'm still a little concerned about the defensive line. I think they could probably add a defensive tackle and another one. But overall, I like where their safeties are at. I think they're heading in the right direction on the defensive line if they can just grab one more guy.
It's been a very, very active offseason thus far for the Detroit Lions, who had a lot of cap space entering this thing. And you start to look forward to the draft and however we're going to do this under the current circumstance of COVID-19. And, you know, obviously it's going to be a lot different this year. And I guess, you know, this is wishful thinking that we do get football season on time as scheduled the way it's supposed to be. But when you look at the draft, the amount of picks that the Lions have been able to acquire, they're healthy. There are a lot of picks there, you know, rounds 1 through 5, but they're going to have to hit on these. How confident are you going into the 2020 draft that the Detroit Lions will not only address their needs, but be able to do so with guys that can come in and have an immediate impact?
Yeah, and that's something with Bob Quinn. You know, I felt like I've said this the past few years, where it's like he needs to hit on the draft picks. And overall, I think his tendency is to draft guys that have higher floors that can come usually right in and play, but their ceilings are usually limited a little bit. So I don't know if he's going to take any risks, but they do have plenty of picks. And considering the holes they have right now, he's going to definitely need to probably, I don't necessarily want to say reach for players, but he might reach for a couple of players here and there just to fill holes. And, you know, looking at Quinn's draft history, you know, outside of Kenny Galladay, you know, guys that have really overachieved that position, he hasn't had a ton of those guys. So it's going to be a very important year for him, just in regards of having guys that can come in and play at a very high level right away and get better. So my confidence level right now, it's a little shaky in Quinn. I do, like I said, I think he's had a couple nice picks, but that's what general managers are expected to do. But just overall, he's got to make sure that this third overall pick, whether it trades down or, you know, whatever that first round pick is, or maybe hopefully potentially 2 first round picks with a trade down, he's got to make sure that they're guys that can come in and play right away. Because with this win now, edict that they're under, you know, they got to make some moves. So I think you've seen it in free agency. They've been very aggressive, and I think they should be very aggressive as well in you know, the draft also.
He is Logan Lamrandier, LionLowdown.com. You can find him on Twitter as well at LLamrandier. Logan, my friend, as always, thank you for your time on this Monday, man. We greatly appreciate it. Hold fast. I hope everything continues to go well, and we make it through this. We get to the draft, and we can kind of put all this other stuff behind us, because I need a little normalcy in my life.
I'm so ready for it, too. Thanks, Anthony. Stay safe out there.
Thanks, man. We appreciate you.